Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now. 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line, the show where we talk about different faiths coming together in dialogue to talk about belief, unbelief, family, morals, issues of the day from a faith perspective, or in other words, what we Catholics call accompaniment. I'm Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. Happy to be at the helm today while I sit in for Reverend Bob Hill, along with
I'm Pastor Barry Freese. I'm a United Methodist pastor, along with...
All right, I think we're probably still waiting on Michael to join us. Okay. Oh, there we go. So we got a little...
What button did you hit?
It wouldn't be me at the helm without some technical issue. So we're waiting for Michael while our Cracker Jack producer Rick gets in touch with him and makes that happen. So anyway, it's about a week before Christmas, and a lot of stuff going on before the show. Of course, Barry and I we're talking a little bit before about what we're doing to get ready for Christmas. But I wonder if we might just start off with a discussion of what can we do, not just to get ready for the celebration of Christmas, with presents and meal planning and all that important stuff, planning family gatherings. But what can we do to prepare our hearts for Christmas? Let's see.
Along with.
Rabbi Michael Fettig, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. What happened?
I don't know.
The gremlins in the system, right?
Gremlins in the system. Always seems to happen when I'm at the helm. Reverend Bob Hill.
You can't see what I'm talking about.
Captain. Start working.
He always makes
it
look so easy. So it's so great to be with you, Rabbi, and to be with you, Reverend Barry.
Thank you.
So, Rabbi, we were talking a little bit about Christmas and the holiday and what... as Christians, we can do to prepare our hearts for celebrating this very important events in the life of the church and the world.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
My understanding of the calendar is that most of the days of Hanukkah are behind us.
Yeah.
Was there anything particularly unique about Hanukkah for you this year, Michael? Is there something that jumped
unique
out?
Unique about Hanukkah.
Or was...
Well, we have added to the family a couple of months ago. We got our fourth grandchild, so that was some fun.
Yeah.
A little extra joy. As you may know, one of the beautiful things about Hanukkah is, as opposed to the story of the miracle of only enough oil for one day lasting for eight... The holiday always coincides with the waning moon of the winter into darkness, and then the holiday concludes, and tonight is the sixth night of the holiday. So there's it ends, if tonight is Sunday, Monday, it ends Tuesday, well, it ends Wednesday, but the last candle is lit Tuesday night.
Okay.
So even though it's darker and darker outside, darkness is not the final word in some way, is the message of Hanukkah. And certainly it's the critical message, I would think, of Christmas if one were speaking in metaphor as opposed to specifically religious language. But to your question, Barry, ironically and intriguingly, my father died in 1964, right before Hanukkah.
Okay.
My mother died this year at 104.
We're going to have to be nice to you.
On January 1st on the secular calendar,
January 1st,
right after Hanukkah.
Mm.
So ironically, my parents' deaths bracket the holiday this year for the first time. And the reason why it's right after Hanukkah, for somebody may be confused, Jen, is because her death we keep the anniversary of a person's death, we do, my family. Some families don't. But according to the Jewish calendar, and as you are both, I think, aware, Jewish calendar is not precisely the same as the secular solar yes. calendar.
Yes. More moon-driven, so, if I recall.
So, yeah, it's a lunar solar calendar, which okay. is, as opposed to the Muslim calendar, which is a purely lunar calendar.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I mean, talking about your parents and their death and all that mm-hmm. reminds me that many times, and certainly was true for me for the last few years, and there's a flavor of it now, the holidays can have an added challenge as we mm-hmm. remember those who have passed. And a Jewish friend of mine died just the other day, and going to go sit Shiva with the family in Illinois later. I'm interested to hear from you. Well, you know, I mean, it sounds, I hope it doesn't sound too crass. I want to do this right. I want to honor,
of course.
I want to honor Steve and express my care for his wife, Lisa. Tell me what I need to be sure to do or need to be sure to not do.
First question before trying to respond. Do you know the family, an affiliation with a particular religious community within Jewish life, or unaffiliated, or do you know?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
Then some of the cues will be what is or isn't there,
okay.
by which I mean, in a traditional home, it would be normative for everyone who comes in to have a head covering, a yarmulke, a kippah, okay. skull cap, etc.,
yes.
not unlike the Pope, okay?
Sure.
But it is not. It's not necessarily the case. It really depends on the family's tradition. That said, that refers to whether there will be what's sometimes called a minyan service or a Shiva service
mm-hmm.
in addition to Shiva. The Hebrew word Shiva, unlike the Indian word Shiva, was I believe the god of destruction. Shiva simply means seven, as in the first 7 days of the mourning period after a burial.
Oh, okay.
And the tradition is you come and you try to comfort the mourners,
mm-hmm.
although the reason why I asked about their particular affiliation, if any, is because in an Orthodox home, you would not speak to the mourners unless they speak to you.
Okay.
You would give them your presence.
Yes.
But not your words unless they speak to you. In short, that the person is in charge of whether they're able to talk or not, as opposed to being forced to. The worst thing I've seen at in these kinds of gatherings is people eating and drinking and partying, in effect, when in something of an effort to ignore what's happened, even though they're showing up is the most important thing.
Okay.
They won't forget that. I certainly think, if you're comfortable with it, physical contact, holding a hand,
mm-hmm.
hugging, those are the things that will be remembered far more than any words anybody says. Especially, was this a sudden and unexpected
yes.
death?
Yes, it was.
All the more so.
Few days in the hospital,
as you well know, the element of shock is there, too.
I know that very well.
Yeah. Take your cue from them. Let them know that your heart is with them. Not, you know, don't, I understand, you know, even though you do, I understand how you're feeling. I'm here. Help me know how I can help, or just want you to know you matter. You know?
Okay. All right. Well, really? I can do that. This is
I'm sorry. Look, yeah. Forgive me. If there's yeah. one more thing,
sure.
If there is a service, attend it. The service would be in the home.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Really
You're
great
very
advice,
welcome,
advice Rabbi. And if you've got a question or like some advice about dealing with the holidays or some of the issues that come up, give us a call 816-576-7710. That's 816-576-7710. You can also dial 913 if you're on the Kansas side. So 576-7710. We'd love to talk to you. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball.
I'm Chris Butler, host of Free Market Underground.
Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? And what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
What's the perfect gift this holiday season? A great night's sleep on a set of Boll & Branch sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, makers of the world's most comfortable sheets. Every set arrives beautifully packaged. Find out why three U.S. presidents love Boll & Branch. Try them risk-free for a month. Get $50 off your first set plus free shipping at BollandBranch.com, promo code SLEEP. That's BollandBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
In the developing world, more than 400 children are born every day with a cleft lip and/or palate. In America, these babies have surgery, but in many developing countries, children with untreated clefts live in isolation. They struggle to eat, speak, and even breathe. Many are teased. Some are even abandoned. Help give a smile to these children. Smile Train empowers local doctors to do a simple corrective surgery for as little as $250. And it's 100% free for the child's family. Learn more at smiletrain.org.
Tune in to the launch of the Today's Dollar Radio Show this Sunday from noon to 1 with Ron Essery and DC Couch. They'll be providing you education about your money today and also Ron's message of the day. That is the new Today's Dollar Show, Sundays, noon to 1.
The toughest monster truck tour featuring Bigfoot and many more. Returning to KC in 2018, March 30th and March 31st at the Silverstein Arena. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com and use the code CMN18. And a portion of the proceeds will go to help Children's Miracle Network.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak. I'd walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Lisa, I've been seeing those pics you post of you and your family at all those fun events. What gives?
Oh, VetTix.
What's VetTix?
VetTix is an amazing charity that gives free event tickets, like concerts, sporting events, and shows, to currently serving military vets and their families, and to the immediate families of troops killed in action.
We have extra tickets sometimes. Can I donate them?
Yes. Just go to vettix.org. You can give your extra tickets and other vets like me can sign up to get them.
What a great way to give back. And listen, thank you for your service.
The most stimulating talk in Kansas City. AM 710 and FM 103.7 KCMO. Stimulating talk for Kansas City. KCMO.
We're back. You're listening to Religion on the Line with some beautiful Christmas music. I'm Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Diocese of Kingston, Kansas. I'm joined in studio with...
I'm Pastor Barry Fries. I'm a United Methodist pastor, retired, along with...
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. By the way, guys, I if we have time, somebody sent me an article on the internet, of course, so in... The title is "The Jews Who Wrote Christmas." Now, I don't know whether that's able to be Googled as whatnot, but it's a almost four page thing about the various musical pieces written by Jewish people, including Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a song by a gentleman who grew up in Lower East Side immigrant family, bullied all the time because of his quote-unquote Jewish appearance.
Okay,
you know, and you know Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know the cliche about Jewish noses, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh my!
Yeah, this is a partial list of Christmas songs written by Jewish persons. Do you hear what I hear? Silver Bells, Holly Jolly Christmas, Rockin' Round the Christmas Tree, Winter Wonderland, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, White Christmas, of course, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, The Christmas Song, The Christmas Waltz, Santa Baby, Sleigh Ride, I'll Be Home for Christmas, I Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. I don't know how that's a Christmas song. Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Reindeer. I'll tell you off the air.
I got a couple of other quickies, okay? Somebody just sent me this one. Yeah. December 22nd. Only 2 days till men start shopping. Isn't that terrific?
It's funny because it's so true.
That is. That's. I'm glad to know that. I listened to a podcast. I have more than one, but this one had the story of who wrote Dixie, and the common thread leads it back to a guy in Tin Pan Alley, a Jew, in New York City, and then. It turns out that he had heard it in his hometown, and some Negro folks then called were singing it then, and he probably swiped the melody from them. Certainly not maybe the lyrics too. But anyway, yeah, that's quite a list. I may have to search that. And
But in the meantime, we'll give you just two more of the Christmas wanderings. When what to my wondering eye should appear but 10 extra pounds on hip, thighs, and rear.
Amen.
Last one. Now, Bill, you may want to use this one because as far as I know, you're the only one with youngsters, right?
Yeah.
Christmas tip. Wrap empty boxes and put them under the tree. Every time your child acts up, throw one in the fireplace.
Oh, no!
Would it be confessional to say I really like that one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
No more of that. Although, Barry, the confessional piece, Bill, did you read anything about this Australia report?
Yes, I did. I did. John Allen actually wrote a really a good essay about that. But basically, let's see if I can cue this up. The Australian government had been doing a decade-long investigation into child sexual abuse, and they went through tens of thousands of cases. And they called for sweeping changes in the Catholic Church and other organizations. The church wasn't just the target of the investigation. But as I understand, I believe in Australia, they have a partnership with the Catholic Church in providing education to young people, much like they do in Ireland.
I think there is state support for parochial education across the religious lines. Yeah,
and they made a lot of great observations that I don't think are particularly controversial. But the two things they said that were very disturbing is they called for an end to priestly celibacy. Saying they should make that optional, and then the more grave recommendation they made was that in cases of child sexual abuse, the seal of confession should be broken. Now, that's probably the most problematic because in the Catholic faith, that's one of our that's a big no-no.
Right?
I mean, it's a core belief. The seal, the confessional is absolute and it's inviolate. In fact, there are a number of priests who have been martyred for refusing to break the seal of confession. And so I really like John Allen's take on it, where he made a observation of, you know, historically the challenge in the church has been this, that you've had the reformers who've said, look, within the church you've had the reformers who said, look, there's a problem, we need to deal with it, and then you had the deniers saying, oh, there's no problem, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. And we see where that got us, and It's been a terrible tribulation for the church, but also some good has come out of it. A lot of reforms. But he said he observed that now the challenge is this: while a lot of great changes have been made all across the world, there are still areas that where we could improve and we can make the church a much safer environment for everyone. But now you have the dialogue being the reformers who say there's still reform to be made, and then the people who said no, let's move on. The let's move on crowd, and his criticism of this report is by taking something as serious as sex abuse of minors, and making some very practical suggestions, and you're not really telling the church something she doesn't know. There's a lot of reforms that the church has already made, but there's still more that can be done to keep building this good culture, this good reform. But by adding these two other things, which don't really touch on the issue, there's no real connection between priestly celibacy and incidences of abuse. I mean, people who are married are perfectly there's no statistical difference between perpetrators who are celibate and perpetrators who are married. There's no statistical difference. But then also kind of touching into something of theology, it makes it just too easy for people to say, see, look, they're just attacking the church. This is just an excuse to attack the church. And so, and let's see. So I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what...
Curious about a couple of things. Yeah. One, by the way, I've got a news article on the report, which claims to be a quote: "Church leaders have viewed child sexual abuse as a sin to be dealt with through private absolution and penance, rather than as a crime to be reported to police. The sacrament of reconciliation enabled perpetrators to resolve their sense of guilt without fear of being reported," it said.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the Vatican issued, according to this article, issued a response calling the report the product of quote thorough efforts over the past several years, and saying it, quote, deserves to be studied seriously. So it was not dismissed out of hand as just, you know, calumny against the church. But
right.
But where I want to go is, because, Barry, maybe you recall this, okay. And I don't think I'm making it up, but right before I left B'nai Yehuda and retired from that position, I believe in Missouri there was some effort to try to change the notion of what clergy, forget about confession, clergy confidentiality meant in the context of child abuse, because teachers were required to report suspicion, etc. And I don't remember what the status is in terms of clergy having an obligation far as Missouri law is concerned. Do you recall?
You know, I've considered myself a mandatory reporter, and I have used that hotline. Part of my view on that is that I was doing graduate work in counseling before I pulled the plug on that and headed off to St. Paul School of Theology. So I understood from my studies there, my memory is that there's a legal case called Tarasoff, and the essential issue is just that, you know, when is somebody a mandatory reporter, and when do you have the professional phrase is duty to warn, you know, when that takes precedent over some, you know, I'm being a Protestant, it's a little tougher to make the case confessional, because it's not a
sacrament.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I always had the conviction, and I was taught that what someone told me in counseling was totally confidential.
Yes.
Unless they relieve me of the responsibility of keeping it so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about that more after this break.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a great topic for us to pick up.
Open road, here comes the Heffley family.
You've packed the smartphones, headphones, tablets, water snacks, cooler, sunscreen, bikes, skateboards, games, videos, sunglasses.
There's no room for people in here.
Just don't wimp out on the most important thing.
Deep fried butter on a stick.
No, seatbelts. whether it's a long haul or short trip.
It's a win-win situation.
Never give up until they buckle up.
Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Do you have plumage? Please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
What's the perfect gift this holiday season? A great night's sleep on a set of Boll & Branch sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, makers of the world's most comfortable sheets. Every set arrives beautifully packaged. Find out why 3 U.S. presidents love Boll & Branch. Try them risk-free for a month. Get $50 off your first set plus free shipping at BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP. That's BollAndBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com, promo code SLEEP.
I hate water softeners. I really hate softeners. I hate the thought of lugging salt and that it ruins septic systems. But I hate hard water that causes limescale, which costs thousands in appliance damage and wasted energy.
Stop hating and start loving again with the HydroCare Smart Descaler from Wave Home Solutions. Prevent and eliminate limescale the smart way. No maintenance, no salt, no plumbing required, and better than magnetic wraps. 1 year performance guaranteed. Go to IHateMySoftener.com. IHateMySoftener.com.
Know someone who makes Kansas City a better place to live, work, and play? Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City and the Chiefs want to help you honor them for making a difference in our community and inspiring others to do the same. Through the Blue KC Chiefs Kingdom Champion Program, fans can nominate local heroes to be honored on the field before a Chiefs home game. Each Blue KC Chiefs Kingdom Champion will throw out the ceremonial first pass, receive 2 tickets to the game, and tour the Chiefs broadcast booth. Nominating's easy. Just go to Chiefs.com/BlueKC.
If you're a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. The Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday morning at 9 and afternoon at 2.
The Brendan Iron Bar and Grill in Princeton, Kansas. Famous for country cuisine, hand-breaded chicken fried steaks, thick and juicy pork tenderloin sandwiches, and locally raised flame-grilled ribeyes. The Brendan Iron, Highway 59 in Princeton, Kansas.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Do you have plumage? Please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
Debt. If you get in too deep, members of the NFCC, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, can help you put debt in its place.
Credit cards took charge of my financial life. A certified credit counselor helped me get back in control.
Student loan debt followed me wherever I went. NFCC taught me all I needed to know.
Connect with an NFCC certified credit counselor at your local member agency today. We'll help you put debt in its place. Go to NFCC.org/stopdebt or call 877-410-6322.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash,
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
An open line of communication between parents and teachers is vital to student success. This is Mark Farr, president of the Kansas National Education Association. Every child is unique, and each one learns differently. Share details about your students' needs with their education team, and keep them informed about pertinent life events. When parents and teachers communicate, students in Kansas succeed.
A message from Kansas NEA.
KCMO. Stimulating talk on your smartphone, tablet, or mobile device with the KCMO Talk Radio app. A free download in the iTunes or Google Play stores.
Music.
You're listening to Religion on the Line. I'm Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Pastor Barry Freese. I'm a United Methodist pastor, parenthesis, retired, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 576-7710. Michael, before the break, we were talking about clergy and confidentiality and how that works.
So are there any circumstances whatsoever, Bill, as far as you know, where a priest would need to break the seal of the confession? Is that a proper phrase, the seal of the confession?
Yeah, that's a proper phrase. There is no situation in which a priest can break that seal, and even with the penitent. So when I go to confession with a priest, and let's say I confess, I stole your dog.
I was wondering who stole my dog.
Stole your dog, or he cannot even talk to me about that situation.
Past tense. Bring it up.
You couldn't come back to me and say, "Hey, can I have my dog back?" Because that was brought up in confession. He could not approach. So the seal is not just like with strangers or the general public. It's even with you. He cannot bring that up again. In fact, there was. I remember doing a catechism class with Monsignor Freshel once, and he shared a story. When he was in seminary back in the 50s, they had a rule that you couldn't have radios. Well, the rector heard a transistor radio playing, and so it was a big deal. He was going to get to the bottom of this, and he was going to find out who was playing this transistor radio after hours. You're not allowed to have a radio. And he was doing interrogations, and a seminarian walked in and said, "Father, will you hear my confession?" And he said, "Yeah, sure." And he said, "I want to confess. I have a radio, and I wasn't supposed to have one." So he couldn't discipline him because of that.
That's a smart kid.
Yeah, that was a smart.
Can we implement that for the Methodist? Please?
Yeah, really. So for that reason. If you're in a supervisory role as a priest, like I have some priests who are my boss, I would never go to them for confession. And if I did, they'd probably say, "Well, can we have someone else hear your confession?" Because once that confession starts, anything that's brought up, they wouldn't be able to talk about.
Here's a different question I would have, and certainly this would be the case for me, who doesn't have that sacramental church canon law requirement of any sort, presumably. Would it ever be appropriate in that kind of setting for the confessor to urge, encourage, move the person toward turning him or herself in for some crime?
Yeah, in the context of the confessional, it would be very fitting, I've never had that experience because it's private.
Right.
But the priest doesn't have to forgive the sin. I mean, he does not have to absolve you. That's why you have to confess. There's a judgment that goes on, in which he assesses, are you really sorry? Are you really wanting to make this right? So in the case where someone confesses murder or confesses stealing or some grave, serious crime, the priest can say, and often will say, well, part of your you need to turn yourself in. You need to, but they'll give guidance. And I think that's one of the reasons it doesn't serve the common good. It sounds like a great idea of like, well, let's extend the priest role as mandatory reporter. And in our archdiocese, in the Diocese of Kansas, every priest now is a mandatory reporter. If a priest finds out that there is any kind of sexual abuse going on or suspects that, he will report it. And as me working for the archdiocese, I'm a reporter. I'm a mandatory reporter as well. But except for the confessional, that's the one exception. But that often can be a time in which the person can get some counseling and be and some help in trying to make the situation better. And part of repentance often it does involve not only stopping the behavior, but making restitution and taking actions mm-hmm. and positive steps. So, yeah, if you go into the confession, you say, well, I stole something. I mean, the first question you're going to, well, can you return the thing you stole?
Uh-huh.
Is that possible? So, the priest doesn't have to absolve the penitent. And it's a time where you get advice and counsel and you can to start making the situation better. So, but yeah, there's been a number of priests that have been martyred. Father Correa during the Cristero conflict, he was arrested in, I think, 1927. And General Ortiz sent him to hear confessions of prisoners. And he did, because he was a good priest. And then he said, well, tell me what they said, because he was looking for evidence to convict them of a crime. And the priest said, I'm not going to break the seal of confession. And he was killed for it. He's now commemorated as a martyr. But there's been a number of priests who've been asked to. And I think there was a case in Alabama recently where a woman revealed that she talked to a priest in the confessional about a crime that had happened where she was the victim. I believe it was sexual abuse. And then she'd released confidentiality. That was the thing. She'd released confidentiality, and she wanted him to testify to corroborate her story that she had reported this, and he was unable to do that. I don't know how they settled that, but yeah, I mean that would be one big difference with what you were talking about before, yeah. Michael, which is
if someone relieves you of my obligation for confidentiality, right?
Yeah. Well, and in the case of the confessional, not even that.
I think a new piece of learning or a relearning for me in what you just suggested was that a priest is not automatically required to grant absolution. There must be some awareness that this is not just, hey, I'm getting the slate clean, but I also have a sense of remorse and regret.
Definitely. Mm. Yeah, so yeah, it's not just, this is my get-out-of-jail-free card with God. Mm. Far from it. So... Now I'm glad to say I've never had that happen. And for Catholics out there who might be a little bit nervous about going to confession, it's a great. I have felt that fear of like, oh my goodness, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, but it's always it's hard waiting in that line, but you're always glad you did it. And an important thing to remember, the theology really is that when the priest hears your confession, he's acting in the person of Christ. It's really, when you confess your sins as a Catholic, you're to imagine you're talking directly to Jesus through the person of the priest, through the priest to Jesus. So it's a place of theological privilege for the priest, and that's one of the reasons they can't break that seal. Even with you, they can't talk to you. Whatever you confess, they can't, go up to you afterwards and talk to you about that. Even make an allusion.
That was a fun session.
Yeah.
I really appreciated you telling me about that.
Yeah.
I particularly like the part where you...
Yeah. Tell me more.
Tell me more, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. In the meantime, I'm sure we have lots of other topics, and when we have a moment, I'll be happy to throw some of my logs on the fire or otherwise. But and maybe some folks might want to call in a little bit about how they have found the whole notion of the Catholic rite of reconciliation, and any comparison to what exists in other traditions. Because as near as I can tell, in both the Protestant and Jewish tradition, there is no definitive equivalent. Barry, would you agree?
I do, yes.
So the number to call, 816-576-7710, or even 913-576-7710. We'd love to talk to you. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. I'm Chris Butler, host of Free Market Underground. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
Coffee News, fun reading, community events, and every week, look for Little Coffee News Guy hiding in the paper.
I love Coffee News.
Available free at your favorite restaurants and coffee shops. Find one near you at coffeenewskcmetro.com.
Better Horses Network is the premier broadcast channel for horses, ranching, and all things Western. Better Horses Network consists of people, brands, and professionals who strive to be at the top of their game in the world of horses and ranching. Broadcasting across America and the globe, when you want to target your message to those who love the world of ranching, the great outdoors, and all things equine, Better Horses Network exists for you. Welcome to Better Horses Network.
In the developing world, more than 400 children are born every day with a cleft lip and/or palate. In America, these babies have surgery, but in many developing countries, children with untreated clefts live in isolation. They struggle to eat, speak, and even breathe. Many are teased. Some are even abandoned. Help give a smile to these children. Smile Train empowers local doctors to do a simple corrective surgery for as little as $250. And it's 100% free for the child's family. Learn more at smiletrain.org.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our two-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try it for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is fraying.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a Y, there's an us.
Read by members of the Y.
The Y, for a better us.
My battle buddies and I attended the NHL Stadium Series at Yankee Stadium. We had the time of our lives. Vetix, we can't thank you enough.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
School bus drivers, custodians, nurses, paraeducators, just a few of the education support professionals who help schools in Kansas run smoothly every day. This is Mark Farr, president of the Kansas National Education Association. They ensure that our students have a safe ride to school, healthy meals, and a clean environment to learn. So take a moment to say thank you to the ESPs in your school.
A message from Kansas NEA.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Stimulating Talk, KCMO. If we seem a little harsh,
I'm not making excuses.
We're just telling you like it is. Kansas City's KCMO.
You're listening to Religion on the Line. I'm Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Pastor Barry Freese. I'm the United Methodist pastor, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Well, Michael, our theme of having some technical difficulties continues. I can't see on the screen who we have, but I'm Kenneth. We've got Kenneth on line one. So let's Hey, Kenneth, you're on Religion on the Line.
Good morning, Michael. Say, I have a question about the Catholic religion. They say they go to the priest to make confession. When my Bible says there's only one God between, there's only one man between God
yes.
and man, and that's Christ Jesus. So how can the Catholic priest be the mediator between God and man?
Well, you'll recall in your scripture, and when Jesus appeared to the apostles who were in the upper room, he breathed on them. He breathed the Holy Spirit, and he said to the church, whose sins you bind shall be bound in heaven, and whose sins you forgive shall be unleashed in heaven. So at that, the church understands that was at the point in which Jesus Christ himself established the sacrament of confession, right? Because as Catholics, we believe that a sacrament is a sacred sign instituted by Jesus Christ that effectively gives God's grace, okay? So then the church says, well, what do we do with this? All right, we have the authority to bind or to loosen sins in heaven. Well, you can't unbind what you don't know, right? If I come to you and say, hey, will you release me from all my sins? How's the church supposed to do that? So what developed, and you'll, in the book of James, I'm drawing a blank on the passage. James the apostle even said, you know, confess your sins, right? It's we see in the early church there was this practice of confessing sins, and so that's where we get the authority for the priest acting in the
Bible says confess your sins one to him to yes. another, not to some priest.
That's true. That's true. But I think what the question is, where does the authority of the church rest? And as Catholics, we believe that Jesus instituted a visible organization, the Catholic Church. That's where a big area where we might break with people of the Protestant tradition. Is for Protestants often they would see the church buried. Step in here if I'm misspeaking, but the church is more spiritual than corporal. And the Catholic Church, we acknowledge the church is very spiritual. There's a spiritual reality of the church, but there's also a visible, physical, incarnate institution. And Christ instituted officers, right, apostles, to which are the Pope and the modern day bishops.
Well, there's actually apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Right. We're talking about various gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Yeah, those
Ken, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Ken, I'm assuming that you have a position, and I'd like you to clarify. You think the church is wrong in this, correct? That it's not a proper teaching. Is that right?
Well, I just want to know where.
Okay, because near as I can tell, and I really do appreciate Barry and Bill on this one, because this is not my tradition. You know, by which I mean a rabbi, whom we often think of as the Jewish equivalent of a priest or a minister, is technically not. He, in some of the branches of Judaism, or she, is a teacher. That is specifically the understanding, even though in America we've gotten, as I like to say, pastor-rise. Wait. Hold on one second. My understanding is that the priest, forget about whether he's Catholic or not, a priest by definition, whether it's the Hebrew Bible or contemporary life, is a representative of God to the people. And that is the license, as it were, that he is not acting on his own behalf. He's acting as the embodiment of deity at that point when he is doing a sacrament. A minister, and why I think there is the difference of calling it minister in the Protestant tradition rather than priest, is a representative of the people to the Holy One, to God. Does that make any sense, guys, to you?
Yeah, that's a great distinction. Yeah.
Yeah, I follow you. I'd have to say that the perception exists that Protestant pastors, at least my living of that, have a particular hotline, you know, I guess you'd say.
Priestly function.
Yeah, a priestly, you know, a prioritized status. It comes out most when people will say, well, pray for me. And I'm like, well, you know, you can pray too. And
Can't you do anything about the weather?
Right. You know, it's like, well, you've got good access. And so that impression continues. But my belief is that everybody's got good access if they choose to make the call.
You know, and we would, Barry, we would both say, I think we believe in the priesthood of the people.
Yes. All believers. Believers.
The priesthood of all believers. As Catholics, we believe that as well, but we also believe in there's a special ordained priesthood. So, and the ordained priesthood is ordained to serve the priesthood of the people.
So, Ken, can we agree to disagree?
I have another question.
Okay.
And that's it. Do you think President Trump did the right thing by calling Jerusalem the capital city of Israel?
We did talk about this last week, and do we have time before the break? Because it's not an
We have about 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, there's no question that for 3,000 years, every Jew knows that Jerusalem is the capital city of Jewish dream, longing, and the state of Israel. Does that mean that it cannot also be the capital of another people's longing for a national homeland of their own? Of course not. Was it a wise move politically? I have no idea. I do think Tom Friedman had a great column in the New York Times where he suggested it would have been better to have made this declaration and have gotten some concession in return toward the peace process as opposed to it being a blank slate. If it perchance leads to a breakthrough in the peace process, it was a great idea. My fear is that's not what it was meant to do, and it's not what it will do. Rather, it was meant to encourage violence on the part of some elements of the Arab Muslim world so that it could further inflame the base of the Trump assertion that there's no compromise with Islam.
I don't think we should compromise with Islam because there's only one.
I think we have to live in the same world. So perhaps compromise is not the word, but there's no living with. Do you believe no Muslim should serve in Congress?
I believe that whenever a person comes to Christ, he is a changed person.
All right, gotta go.
Hey, Ken, great conversation.
I'm sorry to hear you.
Call back next week.
I think you're going.
We'll be right back after this break.
In my quest for the gold medal, I had to overcome not only the toughest competition, but also a lot of pain. I'm Carrie Strzok, and I know firsthand how pain can impact your life. What I did not know is that factors like age, pre-existing health conditions, and other medicines can increase the risk of certain over-the-counter pain relievers. That's why it's important to always check the Drug Facts label on your medicine to see if your pain reliever is still a good fit for you.
A public service of the U.S. Pain Foundation with support from McNeil Consumer Healthcare. Visit GetReliefResponsibly.com.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
KCMO AM 710 Kansas City.
101.1 FM KCFX HD2 Harrisonville.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk. KCMO.